What if I said Nat was still in charge for child dedication? Actually, Nat had to do a little bit of an impromptu. Someone else was supposed to lead the service, and I put him on the spot a little bit, said, Nat, I think you can do it. You're going to be up there anyway, so. Okay, it's good to be with you today, and I want to just say thank you for your prayers, and had a chance to visit a few different places, seeing what the Ministry of Transworld Radio was doing, and I hope to report on that with you next week. It's good to have many friends, family, grandparents here in support of the families that are wanting to commit their lives to raising their children in a way that would honor the Lord. It's our privilege this morning to stand together with these parents, and we have 11 families who have combined 13 children, and we'll be looking and meeting them a little bit later. But their desire, of course, is to nurture and admonish their children in the things of God. I wonder if we actually understand the privilege that is ours. The Word of God says that as it relates to the gospel is invading Satan's territory. And the Christian home is the one place where we have an opportunity to nurture a generation, to raise a generation who will be salt and light in a world of darkness, a world where people don't know their left hand from their right hand, who are making choices that are affecting the very world in which we live in. And so we have been given, as moms and dads who have placed their trust in Christ, we've been given a great privilege and, yes, a great responsibility. And this is to what these parents have been called to do and to which they wish to take that responsibility today. And so those of us who have maybe raised our children, who are seeing our grandchildren, we recognize that on any given day, the task of raising a family is overwhelming. We realize that it is far beyond our capacity as imperfect people to raise them in such a way that they're going to lead godly lives. So turn with me to Psalm 127 for a moment. It was a passage that I read in our adult class. And for those of you who weren't with us, I want to read that psalm one more time. Dr. Albert Siegel said, when it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarianism. 20 years is all that we have to accomplish the task of civilizing the infants who are born in our midst every year. These savages know nothing of our language, our culture, our beliefs, our values, or our customs of interpersonal relations. In fact, the infant is totally ignorant about state politics like communism, fascism, democracy, civil liberties, and the rights of the minority. I think they do know something about the rights of minority. They know very little about the prerogatives of the majority: respect, decency, honesty, customs, conventions, and manners. And so, in the book Growing Wise in the Family Life, we read that the barbarian must be tamed if civilization is to survive. And so, those of you who are carrying any infant below the age of 2, you understand that you are holding a barbarian. Let's read Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And Lord, bless the reading of his word. Let's just open a word of prayer today. Lord, we come to you. We thank you for the ministry and song that we have been part of, where we've been able to express, as it were, in music, those longing of our hearts to praise you, to glorify you. We come to you today, Lord, as a community of faith, moms and dads, boys and girls, seeking to honor you with our lives today. We thank you that today we also can remember mothers, our mothers who raised us and nurtured us, for those of us who had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home, or a mother who taught us your word and exemplified godliness. And so today, Father, we give you thanks. And we pray for each mother here today, those who have had children and grandchildren, for those who are expecting children, for those who have had children in recent months, we thank you for them, and we pray that you'd grant them daily strength and wisdom, and may they depend upon you for the way that they're to raise their children. Thank you, Lord, for our time together, and just bless the remainder of our service in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a task of raising children who know very little about life. And yet it seems that our society shrinks from the responsibility. In fact, parents are so overwhelmed that they often will entrust their children to institutions, to people they know very little about, because they are overwhelmed with the task. And so we have a responsibility. We have a privilege. And although we may feel like we need to, we feel overwhelmed and want to shrink from that awesome privilege, we need to be careful that we do not. You see, the Lord has allowed us to have children, and with that, he enables us to raise them in a godly manner. And so as we read in Psalm 127, children are a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. I can well remember as we were raising our family that it was always a delight to see them growing and maturing. Last night we were sitting together and watching an old Cosby half-hour rerun, only to be reminded of the kinds of things that probably my own children went through. And so what do people consider the greatest source of pleasure in their lives? According to some study some years ago, the overwhelming answer is that family. Family is the greatest source of pleasure in our world. An interesting fact about children is that the percentage of Christians who have accepted the Lord Jesus did so before turning 18. 80% of all converts placed their trust in Christ before they were 18. So whether we realize it or not, the Lord has allowed us to have children to teach us something as parents, to teach us about the kind of relationship that he wants to have with us. You may have wondered, you know, how could God possibly teach me about that relationship? After all, my children don't understand me. How many of us understand God? My children seldom listen to me. How many of us obey and honor God. He desires us to learn from our children things which we otherwise could not learn from others. Let's see if I can get this PowerPoint going here. Oh, I've got to turn the switch on. That works. There we go. Oh. Okay. Now I'm going to get one more flip here. There we go. So I want you to think back as you were raising your children. What could you remember? What did you see? There were times when you were confused. Sometimes you were overwhelmed. You cried out to God. Sometimes you laughed, and you laughed at the silly things that your children did. Sometimes you learned some hard lessons because it required patience. Those seem to be the hardest lessons of all. See, children are a picture of the spiritual life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. A dear brother came in this morning. He says, I came in to make sure that your sword was still sharp. And I told him that the sword has been sharpening me. I'm not sure that I can sharpen the sword. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, you have to remember that this was asked by grown men. Of course, they were anticipating and hoping that they would be named as the greatest, since they were following the Savior. Verse 2. He called a little child and had him stand among them. We don't know the age of this child. For all we know, this child had no idea other than the fact that he had been called. No idea in regards to the question that had been asked. And so the Lord Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Let's go down to verse 10. "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wanders off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost." Now, those of us who have raised children, in some cases, we've seen our children walk with God. In some cases, we've seen our children walk away from God. But this verse, this last verse that was read, is meant to reassure us that God cares about the very children that He allowed us to bear. God cares, even when you find yourself in a position where you can do very little to change the consequences of the choices of your grown-up children. And so children are a picture of the spiritual life. Children are an example of how we must enter the kingdom of God, do so by faith and in humility. Another thing that we recognize is you and I were raised by our own parents and we played out in the playground and chummed around. We notice that children love those who love them. This may not sound all that profound, however, there's really no way you'll ever communicate with a child unless you demonstrate true love towards them. And so the Lord Jesus calls this child to himself. And in seeking to answer the question of the disciples, he provided them with a living example, but not only for them, but for us as well, of what it takes to become a member of the kingdom of God. And so at some point, as you're raising your children, it'll be very important for them to understand what faith is. Faith is simply believing what God says he will do. And anyone who believes in him is granted eternal life. That is by faith. In verse 10, we read about how God had provided angels to protect our children, because for us as parents, numerous hours of a day where we have no real contact with our children, we've entrusted them to our educational system, to other people. And God reassures us in the promise of his word that he'll watch over our children. That doesn't mean that bad things can't happen to good people. It doesn't mean that children aren't lost at times. But it does tell us in principle that God does care for our children. Robert Fulghum wrote this: "Most of what I really needed to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of that graduate school mountain, but right there in the sandbox, right there at nursery school. These are the things that I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. And say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. And when you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together." Things that you learn from the toy box, sandbox. Another thing that I think we can learn from children we have the technology, it's coming. Is that children have a predisposition. In fact, each child here has a natural bent which must be taken into consideration as we raise our children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. In Psalm 139, maybe just turn there for a moment, Psalm 139, verses 14 and 15. A passage of scripture that reveals to us how much God knows about us, even though we sometimes wonder whether God cares, but God knows all about you. God knows all about me and cares for each of us deeply. Verses 14 and 15, this is what we read. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." But a week ago, Zoe was born. And in recent days, Arthur and Tina gave birth to Sophia. And I also understand that they also, their daughter, Elvira, also had a baby boy. These children are a reminder of God's grace and his ability to take life even from what we can't see and be able to create something wonderful, something beautiful. Someone has said that a baby is God's opinion that life should go on. Never will a time come when the most marvelous recent invention is as marvelous as a newborn baby. I was on the plane, and here next to me, there was this gal playing with her iPad. Everybody know what an iPad is? Some of you know what an iPad is? Anyway, it's the latest craze, just a place where you can spend more money. And here she was saying with this nice thin wafer, I can do all kinds of things. And then on another plane next to me, there was another gal, and she was playing Monopoly on her small iTouch, I guess, or iPhone, I'm not sure what it was. And I was sort of, I saw her shaking. I said, what are you doing? I'm shaking the dice. Here it was, all of these inventions. But frankly, all of us recognize that when we see a child, we marvel at the new birth. We marvel that our children recognize us right there at birth. We marvel that they are comforted by our words. So how do we start with nurturing our children? We do so by getting to know them. And the one thing that parents seem to be running away from is the time that's needed to get to know our children. So it requires time, careful observation, diligent study of them in prayer, concentration, help from above, and yes, wisdom. And yes, the two essential ingredients are desire and time, taken from growing wise in God's family. I might also add another thought, that it's going to take a lot of rest. And so those of you who have had newborn babes recently, you know that it takes a lot of rest to raise a family. When the Bible speaks of us training our children in the way that they should go, it speaks of you and I recognizing our children's natural bents, what their predisposition is. Of course, we see the positive, we see the negative, but we need to learn to respond and nurture those things which will help them to develop into godly people, godly men and women. And so there's no precise parenting rule book apart from the Scriptures. And the Scriptures speak a lot about, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning, the importance about talking to our children all through life, not just when they're young, not just as they're growing up, but all through life. I wonder how many conversations Abraham might have had with Isaac. I wonder how many conversations Jacob would have had with the many children that he was privileged to have. So no precise parenting rule book, only the Scriptures. Two mistakes which must seriously be noted when it comes to raising our families, and those of us who have done so recognize them. We tend to raise our children the same way that we were raised. That can be a dangerous mistake. They say, well, what's wrong with that? I turned out all right. Just allow other people to see how all right you are and comment on that. Secondly, we tend to compare our children with the other children that we have, and we shouldn't do that. Back in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3, we read of how God knows us so completely. It doesn't matter where we are. Our children know all about us. God knows all about our children, and He knows all about us. So how are you going to help your children? Well, one of the ways in which you can do so is by seeing the uniqueness, their own personal uniqueness. Make sure that you realize that that uniqueness is what will make them strong. Cultivate that uniqueness, because in so doing, you'll help them to overcome peer pressure. For every child who is here, for every mom and dad, God has a task for you. We're to go and make disciples. And God has created each of us with different talents and abilities. And by His Spirit, He wants to enable you to use those unique features in your life to do His will. And so as parents, as you see your children and you seek to work on those natural bents, seek to cooperate with God. Do so prayerfully. Ask him for wisdom as to how your children are to be raised. Learn to work with your children in areas that they enjoy, which are good. Another danger, of course, is we need to be careful not to force our children to be what we always wanted to be. How do we deal with the evil inclinations of our children's lives? Whether they're young, growing up, teenagers, how do we deal with that? Again, the Lord wants us to seek him. His word provides us with a whole biblical narrative of how he dealt with his own children, the nation of Israel. You'll remember that in the case of the nation of Israel, God marked out very clear lines of expectation, lines of obedience. He also stipulated the consequences for disobedience. This didn't mean that the Lord didn't love his children when they disobeyed him, but rather, because he did love them, he sought to bring them back, and at times he disciplined them, and in some cases very severely. And so when our children decide to walk outside of the limits that we set for them, we need to be sure that they understand why we've responded the way we have, why they're facing the consequences that we've set upon them. And so, with the blessing of children comes an awesome responsibility of care and training. Trying to kill that thing. There we go. Fathers and mothers have a responsibility. Sometimes I think that fathers fail to realize the awesome responsibility. Sometimes mothers feel helpless and need fathers to be there and be supportive. Sometimes we try to do it all on our own. For those of you who didn't experience the love and acceptance of your fathers or your mothers, please realize that God hasn't left you without fathers and mothers to exemplify the love of God. In fact, that's the purpose of the church, where maybe you and I, as first-generation Christians, didn't have the privilege of being raised in Christian homes. God has provided godly moms and dads to teach us how to live, to teach us how to raise our families. So we're part of a much larger family. And so today we have two groups. I'm going to call one group up. I'm going to call Alex and Natalia Buchsman. I'll ask you to come up. Bruce and Heather, Keith and Stacy, bring your children. David and Rebecca, Vern and Lydia, and John and Eva, come up with your children. So we have Diana and Kezia, Emery, Rory, Braden, and Ivy, and Jonas, and Bria. You know, I was looking back, and I was thinking, I think you had a child dedication for Bria, didn't you? Or you weren't here that Sunday? Ah, I was looking. I had your name in my previous message. I said, oh, I think we had a child dedication for Bria, but you weren't here. Okay. Good to have Grandma and Grandpa here today as well. Okay, I've asked if Bruce and David would pray for their children, and that would simply be representative, and then I'll have a word of prayer for all of us as parents. And so what I'll do is I'll have you come and grab a mic. So I'm going to ask David to come on over. And I don't know how far that can go. That might be able to reach over there if you want. See how far that can go. Okay, let's bow our heads and just allow these fathers to express their prayers for their children.
God, I just want to Thank you for this day, and thank you for the gifts that you've given us in our children, and the responsibility that we have in raising our children. God, we ask you for the wisdom that you promise that you will give us in helping us to raise our children. And we thank you that we're not alone, that we do have family and friends and this church to help us in raising our children as well. God, give us the patience and the wisdom and the strength to carry out the job that you've given us. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for each child here, and pray, Lord, that as parents that we'll just be able to look into your word and learn from your word to how to raise our children, Lord. And pray that we'll all be the parents that you want us to be, and that we'll just be able to continue to teach them about you and your love and what you've done for us, Lord. And also pray for the patience that we need as parents as we go through each day, and the strength as well as we raise our children, and that we'll just be able to teach them how to be thankful of you and how to glorify you through their actions, Lord. Praise in your name.
Lord, we do pray for Alex, Natalia, for Bruce and Heather, for Keith and Stacy, David and Rebecca, Vernon, Lydia, and John and Eva. Father, their expression, their desire to nurture their children in your ways is commendable. Father, we do pray that as they seek you, you would hear their prayers. As they endeavor to raise their children, grant them your wisdom, your patience, your love. We do thank you for each of the children here, for Diana and Kezia, Bria and Emery, Rory, Braden and Ivy, and Jonas. We pray, Lord, that this would be part of the army of the future leaders, men and women who live their lives in godly fear and sacrifice, who grow up to love you and to raise their families in a way that would honor you. And so we thank you for these parents, for these children, and pray that you would watch over them and bless them as they seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that, are we done yet, he says? Okay, let's have another group. I'm going to ask Rudy and Nellie, Peter and Irene, Martin and Ella, Willie and Agnes, and Alex and Natalia Schenkel to come up, please, and bring your children. And this morning we have Fiona, Liam, Luis and Finn, Zoe and Alyssa. Just want to mention that as they're coming forward, that if we happen to have missed some of you as families, it wasn't because that was our intent. It's just you can see that there are a number of children here, and we'll give you another opportunity in a few months' time and have you come forward. So if you would like to be part of this in the future, just let me know, and we'll definitely have you part of this.
And so I've asked Rudy to pray and Martin and Willie to pray for their children, to give thanks. And of course, this would be representative of our prayers for them. And then I'll close in a word of prayer as well. Let's pray together.
Father in heaven, come to you this today, and yeah, I want to give you thanks for all the children you have given us, and especially today for Fiona. We know that she's precious to you. And we have the responsibility to nurture her with all we can, all that we can give, our life, our love, and we need your help in raising her. Pray that you help me as father to be a godly father and a man that can honor you with my life as well. I pray that you help us so as whole family to live a life of an example, and pray that you bless Fiona and help her to that she can learn from you and be a child of you as well. Pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Yes.
Danke, Vater im Himmel, für diese wunderschönen, wundervollen Kinder, die wir haben dürfen. Danke, dass du sie uns geschenkt hast, als Geschenk der Gnade, Herr. Wir wollen dir danken dafür, wollen dich aber auch bitten für Weisheit, Geduld und viel Liebe, sie zu erziehen, sie in deinem Namen zu erziehen, dass sie auch in jungen Jahren schon dich lieben lernen können. Amen.
Großer Gott, auch ich danke dir für unsere Kinder, die wir haben können, die du uns geschenkt hast. Ich danke dir auch für den Segen, den wir durch die Kinder haben können. Und ich bitte dich, hilf uns auch mit viel Liebe jetzt die Kinder zu erziehen, in deinem Namen. Amen.
Father, we thank you that through your parental love, you have brought Diana and Kezia, Emery, Rory, Braden and Ivy and Jonas, Fiona, Liam, Lewis, Finn and Zoe and Alyssa. You've brought these children into being, and the parents of these children are now offering their children back to you in full cooperation, that their children have been entrusted into their hands. And we, Father, as your people, moms and dads and grandparents and friends, we prayerfully affirm and recognize the need of your fatherly care. And so through the duration of their lives, we ask that you guide these parents and these children in the ways of truth and the life in Jesus Christ. Graciously mold these children in the formative years, give them the will to resist temptation, and lead them to experience the forgiveness and eternal life that is found only in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We would join our prayers and those of their parents today. And so may the Christian home and the fellowship of believers in which each child is raised be to them a constant demonstration and inspiration towards the Christ-filled life of faith. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we as parents and as your people solemnly commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of all these children that you have entrusted to our care. And so receive these children, and these are acts of dedication in the love and in the name of the Lord Jesus, your Son. Amen. So I think it's a grandparent's responsibility to take these kids out for lunch. What do you think? I better be careful. We had a chance to chat with our grandchildren yesterday and hadn't seen them in a while, and we found out that Chloe can really talk. And so you pray for Josh and Jenna. Anyway, it's good to have been with you, and again, we thank you for your prayers. Congratulate these parents. Express your desire to support them and love them, and continue to pray for them, because it's an awesome responsibility and an awesome privilege to have a family and to raise children. At this time, I'll just consider our time closed, and may the Lord bless you, and may you have a great day. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake.